Well, I wonder, what do you place value in? What do you treasure most in life? For some of us, it might be money. It might be the amount of money that you have sitting in the bank or somewhere else. For some of us, we would put lots of value on money. For others, among us this morning, it might be your phone. It might be your mobile phone that you treasure what's on it and the way you use it. And actually, without it, you would really struggle. For many of us, our most valuable asset is our homes and where we live. And we put lots and lots of value in that. Others might have a motorhome and enjoy that. Others, expensive bikes. Many of us will have jewelry. Some of our hands here this morning are probably worth a lot of money. I wonder, give me a wave if your hand is worth more than £100. There we go. Yes, lots. We also place value in people, our loved ones, and closest friends. We put value in them. We value time, don't we? Especially time off and time away. When life is busy, we really value a few days off to relax and unwind. Some people put their value in other things. Things that are important to them, like climate change and making a difference. We've heard lots about that this week. In our Bible passage this morning, it wants us to think very carefully about what we value most in life and what that means for the future. In particular, we're going to think about what the kingdom of heaven is worth. And we'll do that under the following headings. The kingdom of heaven is worth more than we can imagine. More than we can imagine. The kingdom of heaven is worth taking very seriously. And the kingdom of heaven is worth sharing with others. And remember that all that Jesus is saying at this point is to the disciples and not to the crowds. He is speaking to those who know him and love him. So firstly then, the kingdom of heaven is worth more than we can imagine. This is really verses 44 to 46. So two parables are told by Jesus about treasure that is of greater value than anything else. These parables are well-known examples, everyday examples, that could be related to easily by the disciples. So in verse 44, treasure has been hidden in a field, and it's been found. This treasure has brought such joy to the man that he has sold all that he has. He gave up everything else to buy the field and to own this treasure. And while we might think that it's a bit strange hiding treasure in the ground, you couldn't just pop to the Bank of Galilee and deposit your money. And so the next safest place was in the ground. So I was sitting next to someone on Wednesday telling them about this sermon and the passage. And his great-grandmother owned a property in Suffolk called Mildon Hall. Has anybody heard of Mildon Hall? Yeah, a few nods, yeah. And his great-grandmother owned the hall with the surrounding fields. Well, in 1942, while ploughing the field, Gordon Butcher discovered a hoard of Roman silverware. Here's one of the plates. It's thought to be the most valuable in Britain, now housed in the British Museum. My friend's grandmother sold the property just before this discovery. Ouch. But imagine the joy of Gordon Butcher finding all that Roman silver. What a celebration must have been had. It brought great joy, ecstatic joy, I'm sure. First, that's the first parable. Second parable, in verse 45, we're told about a pearl merchant looking for the finest of pearls. He dives to the depths of the sea, digging out the oyster shells from the bottom. He's searching for the best and most valuable pearls. And he finds the most valuable pearl that he has ever seen. He too sells everything, all the other pearls that he's found in the past. He sells everything to buy this single pearl. Now, pearls back then were the diamonds of today. This must have been a truly exquisite pearl. You were worth a fortune if you had pearls. Pearls, if you like, were a girl's best friend. These things that have been found are of great value. I wonder if you remember the story in Somerset last year of Lisa Grace and Adam Staples, who are metal detectorists. So they spend their lives looking for treasure with a metal detector. Beep, beep, beep. Well, they found 2,528 silver Norman coins. Wow. Dating back to the Battle of Hastings when? In 1066. They had been dreaming of this for 15 years. 15 years of looking for treasure. And then their dreams came true. This trove of treasure thought to be worth a mere £5 million. Anyone know where Lisa and Adam live? Is that of interest? They live in Derby, that's right. They live right here, somewhere amongst us. But even 2,528 silver coins does not come close to how much God's kingdom is worth. God's kingdom is of infinite value. We cannot put a price on it. It's worth God's own Son dying that we may enter God's kingdom. Being part of his kingdom is the most precious thing in the world. Knowing Jesus is true treasure. Nothing comes close in value. There is no comparison. The joy of the man who found treasure in the field is the same joy we can have when we come into a relationship with Jesus, who brings us into the kingdom of heaven. It's immense joy, and that joy means something. Being part of the kingdom of God now and forever, that joy is worth giving everything up for. Everything else in the parables was given up for this treasure. I used to work for a firm of financial advisors, and I spent every day looking at investments, and in particular, how to spread the risk. One of the key pieces of advice is diversification. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Split your £1 million between cash and fixed interest and property and equities. Spread the risk. And while the advice might be seen as good in the world, in God's kingdom, he says the very opposite. Finding this one treasure is worth giving everything up for. Finding Jesus and his kingdom is worth giving everything else up for. At the end, we're going to sing these words. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this, knowing you, Jesus. Knowing you, there is no greater thing. Is knowing Jesus the greatest thing in your life? Young people and older people, is Jesus number one? You know, again, in both parables, the farmer and the merchant give up everything. Their lives have new meaning and purpose. What they used to have and hold on to, they counted as nothing. Well, our example is Jesus. What was he willing to give up? He gave up everything for us, even his life. Only because of him can we draw near to God. Surely he is worth everything. Our response of praise, our joy is in offering him our very lives. So what holds us back? Why is this so hard? Well, we wrap ourselves up in things which we can see. We like things that we can see, yet which have no value in the kingdom of heaven. We place value on so many other things, from fashion, shoes, music, technology, our possessions. We like things that we can see and touch. Placing value on something you cannot see is much harder. And so we don't value it as we should. But what we have now, and what we have to look forward to, is of infinite value. And it is worth rejoicing in. We are part of God's kingdom. We need to ask ourselves, what do people see us rejoicing in? Is it the greatest treasure in the world? Do people see us rejoicing in Jesus? Or is it in something else? If somebody was to sum up your greatest joy or my greatest joy, what would they say it is? Our greatest joy and our treasure is found only in Jesus. He is worth more than anything else that we might have. So, secondly, the kingdom of heaven is worth taking very seriously. And this is verses 47 to 50. Now, for those who were here last week, you may notice that verses 49 and 50 are very similar to the parable of the weeds and the weeds that we looked at last week. But there is a key difference. Here's the parable in verse 47. A net is used which catches all kinds of fish. When it is full, the fisherman pulls it to shore. They collect the good in baskets and they throw away the bad. Most likely those without scales and fins. So there's a picture of the bad, potentially. And here's a picture of the good. What does this mean? Well, we're told it's how things will be at the end. The angels will separate the righteous from the wicked. The bad fish or the wicked are thrown into the blazing furnace with noises heard of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this is the focus. And it is very serious. The focus is on the bad fish and the wicked being thrown into the fire. The division between the good and the bad is made by how much you valued the treasure. What did the gospel mean to you? What sacrifices have you made? And how does Jesus shape your decisions? So I remember when I was 17, I was studying my A-levels at school. Hard work, but enjoyable. Anyway, one day I stumbled across something of incredible value. It was amazing treasure. I wasn't expecting it or looking for it, but I remember finding this treasure and it was more valuable than anything else I had known. It was a true gem. And as with everyone else who finds treasure, you want to go and tell everyone how incredible it is. It wasn't this image. I found Jesus. I found Jesus when I was 17. And during this time, some really, really good Christian friends were so encouraging. And they taught me lots. Two of them later got married. But then 3 weeks ago, I received the very sad news that they had separated. I knew they had stopped going to church, but had no idea how difficult things had become. This was the last couple I ever expected this to happen to. They were attracted by wealth, worldliness, freedom to do as they pleased. They decided the greatest treasure they once had wasn't worth it. Sadly, many of us know people that are like this, and of course, we continue to pray for them. But whether you're young or old, please hold on to this treasure so tightly. There is nothing of greater value, nothing that is worth more. This treasure, the good news of Jesus, is worth so much. It is the hope of eternal life itself. It is that your sins have been forgiven by Christ's shed blood on the cross. Don't ever stop looking to Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Turn your eyes upon Jesus every single day. Jesus desperately wants his followers to grasp the consequences of not following him. He tells them twice in just a few verses about hell itself. He wants them to realize the judgment that is to come. Jesus is saying the consequences of not having this treasure are really, really serious. Imagine coming home and your house is completely destroyed and in rubble. Just imagine that. You pull up in the car. The children are in the back. And this is the house that you've maybe just got as perfect as possible. The last room has been decorated. And you've got that nice extra deep pile carpets. And you come home and it is all in pieces. All your belongings ruined. And if your value is in the here and now, if you treasure these things more than Jesus, then this will be the outcome. Not physically, but spiritually. Does Jesus come first in your life? The Apostle Paul wrote these words, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things." He says, "I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." The surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus is a far greater value than anything else we might have. The kingdom of heaven is worth taking very seriously. But finally and briefly, the kingdom of heaven is worth sharing with others. And this is verses 51 to 53. In verse 51, Jesus asks the disciples if they have understood all these things. And the response is yes. Well, that response must mean something, even if it is limited to understanding the parables that have been told. Well, the word understand means the same as it did in the parable of the sower. It is an active word. The evidence that you have truly understood how great it is by doing something, by bearing fruit. And so Jesus gives us one final parable in verse 52. It says, "Every teacher of the law, like scribes, like Ezra, knew the Old Testament well and could teach it. But a scribe who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is different. They are like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. The original teachers of the law brought out of their storerooms the Old Testament law. The disciples, however, are to still bring this out, but also this new treasure found in Jesus, who fulfills the law. Well, as disciples today and believers in Jesus, if we have understood this great treasure, then we are also to share this treasure with others. We are to bring them out for others to see. So I wonder what you would say to someone who asked you, what is the main message of the Bible? If you were the disciple bringing out those old and new treasures, what is the main message? If it came up at your 242 group, or at Gig, or Impact, what would you say? Well, four words. God has rescued us. God has rescued us. Sure, you can add more, you can play with it, but the Bible reveals God's rescue plan for humanity. When you grasp that, and what God has done for you, we can't keep the treasure to ourselves. You want to bring them out of the storeroom and you want to share them with others. You know, there is this terrible virus in China at the moment, which they are trying to stop the spread of further. The coronavirus. Imagine if you developed the vaccine and didn't tell anyone. Something that could stop the spread of this, or at least protect people from getting the virus. But imagine keeping that to yourself and not sharing this incredible good news. Don't keep the treasure in the storeroom. Bring it out. God has a rescue plan for all of humanity. And at the heart of that plan is the greatest treasure of infinite value, Jesus Christ. So whether at school or at work, at Acorns or Oaks, surely it is worth sharing the most precious treasure with other people. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is worth sharing with all that we know. Let's keep praying for opportunities to share this and being able to give an answer for the hope that we have. What is the kingdom of heaven worth? More than we can imagine. Taking very seriously indeed and sharing with others. May our greatest treasure in life be Jesus and the glorious future that is found in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for revealing yourself to us that we could have this incredible treasure. The gospel itself, the good news, and the hope that that brings of eternity with you. Lord, you have blessed us with that treasure. And we pray that we would value it more highly than anything else. Lord, we started our service by asking for you to forgive us. But Lord, we ask again that you would forgive us for those things that we place more value on. Forgive us where you become second best, or third, or fourth. May you be the greatest treasure in our lives. And help us to want to tell others about that, we pray. Lord, help us to want to share that treasure. Lord, how could we possibly keep that to ourselves? But Lord, help us to tell others about this great news, we pray. In your name, Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.